Welcome to our church. That's what we believe. That's the attitude of my heart. You have permission to belong here before you believe. What I simply mean by that is I'm not talking about church membership. I mean that you have permission to come here and attend and doubt and ask questions and study and consider what it is this church stands for before you ever believe it. This isn't a believers only club. How are you ever going to have your doubts and questions answered if you don't come and ask questions? Are you with me? Can I get a witness on that? Absolutely. Okay? You're free to do all that. And I also want to make a personal challenge to you. Some of you may not like this, and it's a little scary. If you're here for the first time, or if you're just new here, I invite you to put us under the microscope. I invite you to examine our lives to see if our behavior matches our beliefs. In particular, I invite you to put me under the microscope because I'm the leader of this ship around here. I'm driving the boat. So you ask yourself the question, hey, is this guy really living it? And if I'm not, if we're not, you're welcome to pass us by. Can you handle that? Sometimes we can't handle the truth. Okay? I want to be real. I want to be authentic. I don't want to be put on holier than thou. But I want to seek after the truth. And you're welcome to be here for that. As you put us under the microscope, though, I want you to be cautious in developing your assumptions about this church based on the people that you see, because some people here, just like yourself, if you're here for the first time and you're really not a Christ follower yet, some people are just like you. They're still deciding. So be cautious about your judgments. Be cautious also because other people have just begun on their journey with Jesus. And so God himself holds people who are just beginning to a lesser standard than those who have journeyed with Christ for 15 or 20 years, right? Just like a parent has lesser expectations of a one-year-old than they do of a 20-year-old, right? Are you with me? Okay, so we need you to be the same way. And finally, I want you to remember, and this is what people often don't get, okay, as you're cautious in developing your assumptions, remember that people have different starting points on their journey with Christ. I mean, think about it. Consider a divorcee who has been on her own and she's raising two children and she comes out of an abusive relationship and she's just become a Christian. And then consider maybe the college student who grew up in a two-parent family that was Christian, attended church all their life. They have a different starting point, don't they? And so be careful about your judgments regarding church and its people, because we're a mixed variety, and that's the way it is. That's the way I like it. Variety is the spice of life, right? I like to toss the salad. Indeed. I want to share our scripture this morning. It's from the fourth chapter of Luke, Luke's gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Does anybody know what the next gospel is after Luke? John. So if you hit John, you went too far, right? All right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 4, verse 14. Some of you are just kind of like stuck on the whole screen thing, right? Every once in a while, surprise someone who's sitting near you and actually grab the Bible and open it up to Luke chapter 4. Sometimes I wonder if we in this age can still read, can still actually use books, you know? Does anybody go to the library anymore? Library, what's that? Well, let me set this up. Jesus was out in the wilderness and was tempted by the enemy, by Satan. And he comes out of that experience having been victorious in walking with the Father through through a time of fasting. And he's just beginning his ministry. And so this is strategic. What Luke wants to tell us is this is a powerful moment in the life of redemption. We have Jesus going to a synagogue, and this is what we're told. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. And he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and that was his custom. And he stood up to read, and he was going to be the teacher that day, the rabbi. And someone handed him the scroll, and it was the letter, the book of Isaiah. And he turned to Isaiah 61, and this is what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, and release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This was a famous passage in Isaiah, because it pointed toward the Messiah who would come. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he looked him straight in the eye as he sat down, because when a rabbi went to teach, he would sit down. He looked him right in the eye, and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand the significance of this passage of Scripture. Might it revolutionize our hearts and minds? Might it change us as people? And so we depend on you, God, and your Spirit's anointing to do this and to accomplish it. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. On days like this, when we gather with friends and neighbors, I want you to hear more than just another message from the pastor. You know, sometimes that's all we need, is another message from the pastor. Actually, I want you to see faith come to life. I want you to hear firsthand how Jesus makes a difference in a person's heart. And so to begin this morning, I have asked Marcia Lippincott to come and to share part of her journey of faith in Christ. So let's be attentive as Marcia comes.
Good morning. In case we haven't met, yes, I am Marcia Lippincott. I have always known of God. As a young child, my siblings and I were dropped off at church each Sunday by my dad and picked up again when it was done. Sadly, I recall very little from those days. My parents did not attend with us, but I am grateful they felt it was important for us. I grew up being fearful of God as I feared my own father. Though I knew my dad loved me, he was very authoritative, stern, and oftentimes quite unapproachable. As a young teen, I wrote prayers in my diary. As a young adult, I used God as you would use 911. Oftentimes, my pleas would be, "God, I'm sorry, and if you get me out of this, I promise I'll never do it again." And though I may have escaped getting caught for whatever I did, the feelings of guilt and shame never left me. I lived my life this way for nearly 30 years. I lived life by making all my decisions based on me. Although I would tell you that I was basically a happy person, with many people in my life that I loved and loved me, there was something missing. I had a longing for something that I couldn't identify. I spent a good part of my young adult life searching for significance. Always felt average or less than. I wasn't gifted in any one thing, not academics, not sports, not a hobby or a talent. Nothing. I was shy, insecure, and looking for acceptance from others to love and really know me. I've always had a need to belong, to feel unique, to be someone special. We can fast forward now through a failed marriage, my first beautiful daughter, and then I married Mike, Thank you, God. And we went on to have two other children that I adore. Shortly after I married Mike, I met a woman who was different than anyone I had known. She was always so sweet and kind, and had a peace about her. I assumed she had had a perfect life, no worries, no failures, no regrets. As time went on, she told me about her not-so-perfect life, the trials and the pain, but more importantly, of the tender love she had for Jesus, how she knew him, and how she felt so loved and precious by him. I knew whatever she had, I wanted. I watched her, listened to her, and allowed her to mentor me right into an intentional walk with Jesus, my Savior. At that time, I knew my search was over. I found to whom I belonged. I began to look at Mike, our marriage, our children, and all of life through a different lens. I had a thirst to know more about my Savior. I was like a sponge wanting to soak up every scripture verse, listen to every Christian radio show, every Christian song, and meet other believers and hear their stories. I wanted to know the Lord, and I wanted to know what he wanted from me and for me, and I began to experience a joy I had never known. Over the past 20 years, he has healed my heart and assured me that my past will be used for my present if I allow it, that my journey can be used to help others along the way realize their significance in Christ, and that their search for meaning and value in life can all be found in him. The words to a song called Mary's Alabaster Box speaks to what my heart wants to express. It says this: I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner of the sins that had me bound. I spent my days pouring life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found, until the day Jesus came to me and he healed my soul with the wonder of his love. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. The Lord has healed what I once felt was an insignificant soul. I belong to him, and I pray every day that his Holy Spirit fill my heart with his love, so that I can give to others what he so freely and generously gives to me daily. I thank him for his prevenient saving grace, which means a grace that goes before. God's grace was at work in my life long before I was aware of it. I was ignorant of his love and running from his care, but he put people, situations, and events in my life to draw me to himself because of his love for me. My heart nearly explodes with gratitude that he has placed people in my life and continues to, that encourage me and invest in me for his sake. May I be that someone for someone else. I'd like to share a scripture with you that has taken up permanent residence in my heart. 2 Samuel 7:18 states, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far?" Glory to God.
One of my greatest joys in life is listening to personal testimonies like what we just heard. Thank you, Marcia. You just heard from a woman who would rather die than speak in public. And yet, God has transformed her heart and given her a story of a journey with Christ that she wants to share with other people. And maybe you related to that story today. I never cease to be amazed at how God brings healing to human hearts. How a relationship with Jesus fills the emptiness of life and sets a person on solid ground. It's beautiful. Jesus also brings our search for meaning and significance to an end because he brings purpose to our lives. Everything means something. What God's trying to do with us is significant. But that's not all. In Christ, we also no longer have to operate out of a wounded heart. I don't know about you, but that's what I just heard from Marcia. She offered up her wounded heart to Christ, and he takes and heals it and fills it. He binds up the brokenhearted. Well, that's not all. In addition, we don't have to live in bondage to addiction, to damaged emotions, or to fear. A relationship with Jesus literally changes everything. It is a journey worth everything. And that's because Christ has the power to give us, literally, a beautiful life. I have a picture that I call a beautiful life. And Paul, you can put that up now. I just love this because, you know, you can just see the mom behind the camera saying, "Now everybody jump and smile." And these kids are only too happy to accommodate her. And you just see the innocence and the joy, and they love life, and it's beautiful. And friends, that's what God offers in Jesus. I'm not saying that life doesn't have hurts and pains and there aren't trials and tragedies, even in the Christian experience. But what I'm saying is that God heals the human heart. God heals damaged emotions. God restores and renews relationships. And it all happens because of the power of Jesus Christ. And it can happen for you. That's why I'm here today, to share this message. And if you're here for the first time, that's what we want you to consider, because it's the truth. And see, you didn't just hear from a pastor who's getting paid to say this. You heard from a busy mom who isn't getting paid nothing. She's volunteering, and we appreciate that. And that's the power in that testimony, friends. In our scripture lesson for today, we find Jesus attending worship at a local synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And as he stood up to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place in Isaiah 61, and this is what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." And then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant. He sat down, and he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, Luke puts that at the beginning of his gospel because he wants us to know how astounded the people in the synagogue were that he would make such a statement, that Jesus would say such a thing, because to do so was nothing but a claim of messiahship, that he was in the flesh the long-awaited Messiah. He was God come to earth. That's exactly what he was doing, because that's exactly who he was and who he remains to be this day. And it's in this passage that we come to understand, folks, a beautiful truth, one that is often left unspoken. And that is that a relationship with Jesus offers so much more than just a ticket to heaven. Fire insurance. Have you ever heard that? And I don't want you to think that this church is just selling a bill of goods, that Jesus is a ticket to heaven and fire insurance, and you got to wait 90 years till you're dead to enjoy the benefits. Sometimes that's what the church mistakenly or unconsciously portrays, that Jesus is just a ticket to heaven, and you just put up with life until you get there. I couldn't be further from the truth. Not if you look at this passage and you think about what Christ claims. The Bible speaks of Jesus as being a redeemer. And when the scriptures tell us that Christ came to redeem mankind, this offer delivers a whole lot more than forgiveness. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to be forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. That's a great deal of what redemption means. But simply to forgive a broken man or a broken woman is like telling someone running a marathon, you know, it's okay that you've broken your leg. I won't hold that against you. But finish the race. We're not going to help you or anything. But finish. We're just going to leave you there. And that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that he has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captive, to give life and fullness. See, it would be cruel to forgive and not to redeem in this life. See, the core of Christ's mission is found there in Isaiah 61. And so if you have your outline, you fill this out, because I want you to take this home and pray over this and you seek God in this. You see, Christ came with the offer of good news. And the good news is this, that brokenness does not have to define our existence. Would you say that with me? Brokenness does not have to define our existence. Damaged emotions do not have to rule our hearts. They do not have to be the foundation of life that we walk. God can bring healing to damaged emotions through Jesus. God can restore ruined or shaky or strained relationships. So many times, life before Christ looks like this slide, a broken clock. The parts are scattered everywhere. The ability for a good working clock is there, but somebody's got to put it together. And oftentimes people try to put their own life together, only to see it fail or to be disconnected somehow from life and from health. But God in Christ offers redemption. Brokenness doesn't have to define our existence. And secondly, bondage doesn't have to paralyze us. Addiction doesn't have to hold us hostage. Not if we let Jesus come in and heal our hearts and provide power over sin and temptation. Fear doesn't have to rule in our minds, in our hearts. And while you're at it, go to that next slide. And I just want to say that if you talk to a counselor, Christian counselor, a secular counselor, they'll tell you, America is known as a land of addicts. The land of addiction. We're addicted to sex, we're addicted to alcohol, we're addicted to food, to medications, to so many things. And we're just ruled by addiction. And Jesus says, listen, I've come to bring freedom. I've come to release you from that hold on your life. Brokenness and bondage, and finally, darkness. Darkness does not have to steal our vision. Hopelessness, insignificance, as Marcia spoke about, and depression don't have to blur our vision for living. Those things, hopelessness, a feeling of insignificance, you know, who am I? Where do I fit in? What does life matter? May lead to depression. And I'm here to say that in many instances, I've had ministry with people, conversations, counseling sessions with people who have struggled with depression that stem from these kind of things. And I've been able to help them such as they work with the scriptures, develop a deeper prayer life, and have a sense of God's purpose and place for them. They have been able to decrease medication over time, and in some instances, just put it away altogether. See, God comes in Christ to lift darkness, insignificance, hopelessness, and to give people a place in the world. It's a beautiful thing when someone goes from feeling like, you know, I'm not really special or don't have much to offer, to understanding, wow, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God can use me to bless the world. I bet you never imagined you'd be a public speaker. You know? But the truth is that people need to hear your story. And the truth is that Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Satan says to you, young people, you know, some of these things your friends want you to do, getting involved in the addictions that I just talked about, you know, it's no big deal. It's not going to hurt me. I've been doing this a while and I'm fine. Yeah, well, you think about this. You think about those same people doing it for 25 years, and then we'll see what they look like. Okay, I'm an old guy. I've been out of school now for 26 years. Some of my classmates who were telling me that 26 years ago, some of them are dead. Okay? Some of them, their lives are in shambles. Addiction literally rules their finances, ruined their marriages, and so many things. And that doesn't have to be your experience. Can I get a witness from some parents here? That doesn't have to be your experience, young people. You can start now and follow Christ and get on board with what He wants you to do. And you can avoid so much of that. The brokenness, the bondage, the darkness. You can avoid those potholes. And I say, glory to God. You see, it's easier to build a boy than it is to mend a man. Now, Christ can mend men. But why not just start when you're young? And give glory to God 25 years later because He's been good to you. Are you with me? Okay? And you know, there's some of you here who are a little older and, you know, you've had to learn the hard way. And God can start with you right where you're at and build in your life. But I'm just telling these young kids, because this is the service that most of our kids come to, you don't need to learn through the school hard knocks in that fashion. And so, get serious about Christ right now and let Him build your life on that solid foundation. You see, God's desire, friend, no matter where you're at, God's desire is that you have a beautiful life. And if that's too feminine of a word for you men, how about meaningful or purposeful? God desires that you have a beautiful life. A life marked by joy. A life marked by freedom. A life marked by significance and purpose and healthy relationships. I want you to know that God accepts us as we are, wherever we're at. And then on our journey with Christ, He transforms us into what He meant for us to be, what we were created to be. And the journey is not easy. Say that with me. What did I just say? The journey is not easy. But let me say this. Don't be afraid to take the hard road because you'll love where it leads. You with me? Don't be afraid to take the hard road because you'll love where it leads. You'll love where it takes you. And God will bless you for that. The journey is not easy, but there are blessings in this life and in the one to come. You see, healing in Christ takes place in a moment, but it's also a journey that lasts a lifetime. I want to talk to you a moment. I just want to tell you a little story, and it doesn't even have a happy ending right now. But I hope that one day it will. I know a guy. He's actually real close to the church I used to pastor in Akron. His name's Jim. He's one of the best Finnish carpenters I've ever known. Now, let me clarify that by saying I haven't really known a whole lot of Finnish carpenters. But I'll say this, okay? A big-time builder in Akron, Ohio, for a season, didn't mind at all if Jim did a lot of the Finnish work that was showcased in his homes. And a lot of money was riding on the line there, so I'm assuming that Jim was pretty good, okay? He was married, he had kids, and for all intents and purposes, you know, he looked pretty good from the outside. Except for one thing. There were times when Jim would have a few too many brewskis, you know, a few too many Heinekens going down the hatch, and he would get drunk. And every single time Jim gets drunk, he goes looking for his dad. Now, I didn't tell you the whole story. Jim, when he was 9 years old, his parents divorced, and his dad left, and he never came back. He'd get an occasional card, but what's that to a kid? And now as an adult with a family of his own, that hole, that wound, that father wound is so huge that when he gets drunk and his faculties are kind of out of control, what comes out of his heart? That need to find his dad. And he doesn't even know where to look. He just goes. And sometimes they don't even know where he's at. He's looking for his dad. He's sobbing uncontrollably. He doesn't have the resources within his own mind and heart to heal a wound like that. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you something. Jesus can heal that wound. All right? Jesus can heal the woundedness in our hearts that just the stuff of life leaves us, bloody, so to speak. And I don't know where you young people are, or even where, you know, a lot of you adults are, but I want you to know this, that the resources for healing and wholeness and light and freedom come in Christ. And if you will tap into those resources, you will experience a journey like no other. And that's the challenge to you today. Now, like I said at the beginning, I'm not necessarily demanding, hey, you know, you need to buy into this, you need to do it today, and if not, you know, don't come back. No. You're welcome to sit here for 3 months, for 6 months, for 2 years, however long it takes to think about this, to study, to consider, to put us under the microscope. You're welcome to belong before you believe. But the joy of Jesus is contagious. That's why the video said, you know, you're welcome to sit in this very safe place, but beware. All right. Jesus is all that, plus the bag of chips. Okay? It's not me. It's not Rick. Even though he's funnier than me. It's about him. And we're just here to try to help you see that and embrace that and walk in that. Okay, so you may wonder, well, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while and I'm here today and I'm ready to buy in. Well, put your money away. You don't need to buy in. You just need to understand a few things. And I like to keep it simple. When I became a pastor, I was in training to be an elementary teacher. And so I like to just keep things simple, the ABCs. Can you say your ABCs with me up through E? Ready? A, B, C, D, E. You guys are smart. Okay? So I'm good to go then, all right? How does the healing begin? The first thing I need to do is admit. What do I need to admit? That I'm needy, that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior, that I can't do it on my own. Just like Jim, who just would go looking for his dad, and he tried to fill a hole with a lot of things in life that wouldn't fill it. You can pour as much alcohol into a wound as you want, and it's not going to do anything except make it bigger, badder, and uglier. So we need to admit that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. The second thing we need to do is believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior, and that He died and shed His blood, rose again to pay the penalty of our sins, to cancel the power of sin in our life, and to fill us then, to free us, to bring light to our life. Well, how do we do that? Well, we need to, let's see, confess. We need to confess our neediness to God, our sins, and simply to pray and ask God to come in and fill us and save us and forgive us and to help us on this journey. So admit, believe, confess. The next step is important because honestly it depends on how far we go in the journey. We need to desire to turn from our sins. Say that with me. We need to desire to turn from our sins. We need to desire to seek after Christ. Okay, yesterday I officiated at a wedding, and I'm telling you that the bride and groom desired to be near each other. Okay, they liked each other. Okay, and that's a beautiful thing, right? Okay. All right, now, Jesus says that the church is what? Come on. The bride of Christ. Sometimes, for whatever reason, the bride doesn't seem to like the groom too much in the church. Okay? And we need to pursue Christ passionately like a bride and a groom do. We need to desire to turn from our sins with the resources that the Holy Spirit gives and walk with Christ then towards healing and wholeness and maturity. There will be some benefits in following Christ that you feel immediately. It's huge. It can be emotional. It can be a lot of powerful things. But there are other benefits and blessings and healings that happen along the way. And that's a powerful thing too. So admit, believe, confess, desire, and finally, enjoy. Enjoy the benefits and the beauty of living and walking with Christ and serving and getting to know other Christians and sharing with those that are still deciding and living life to the fullest. Because Christ said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. But you know something? Jesus is never going to storm His way into your heart. He's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself into places that He's not invited into. This morning, you might want to invite Christ into your life. And I'm simply just going to ask you to bow your heads, and the band's going to come up. And I just want you to pray with me. Not out loud, just pray right where you're at. You can just pray what I pray. Please bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray. Dear Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior. I admit that I've been trying to just make my life work on my own. I don't want to do that anymore. I believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior, that He died to pay the penalty of my sin, and that He has the power to cancel it out and to make me new. I confess my sins to You, and I invite You into my life and ask that You would forgive me, that You would make me Your child, God. Give me a desire to repent of my sins, to turn from them, and to walk with You in obedience. And then finally, thank You for the promise that I can enjoy the benefits of walking with Christ now and in eternity. Thank you for making me your child, for the gift of grace. Let the journey begin. All right, so you keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, and I'm simply going to say this. Maybe there's one of you, five of you, that came to know Christ today. You prayed that prayer with me. I want to encourage you to share that with someone. You might even want to get up from your seat and publicly just let us as a group know that that's what you've done and come and pray at the altar. Or you may be here today and you just have a need, you want to come and pray. During the last song, we invite you to respond as the Spirit of God would direct. So let's stand together and just worship as the band leads us.